So Revelations 3, 1 through 6. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things say he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. You have a few names in Sardis who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
It was such an awesome time during the first century when the church was growing so rapidly. Started with, of course, the day of Pentecost, whenever over 3,000 were added to the church. And then in chapter 4, just a couple of chapters later, talks about 5,000. Then in chapter 6, it talks about, or chapter 5, it talks about multitudes were added to the brethren. And it talks about in chapter 6 that the church multiplied. In chapter 11, it talks about great numbers. And then in chapter 16, it talks about how that they increased daily. The numbers of the brethren increased daily. And in chapter 17, it talks about in verse 6 how that the church was, and the enemies of the church said this, were turning the world upside down. And then in chapter 19, talks about how that all of Asia had heard the gospel. Wasn't that awesome? The church was growing every day by leaps and bounds and numbers, and it just multiplied and kept going. But then in less than a generation, we come to Revelation chapter 3. And there is the saddest thing, the saddest thing. John is talking to the church at Sardis. And he says to the church at Sardis, or the Lord says through John, I know your works. You have a name that you are living, but you are dead. Now Sardis was it wasn't an important ancient city because it was so far inland, but Sardis was the capital of Lydia there in Asia Minor. It was the home of Corinthians. And he was known for his great wealth. So, but it must have been important in the history of the church. And at one point, Sardis was such an alive church. And it was growing, and it was what God wanted it to be. And then something happened. It just died. And you think about how sad that is. That the Lord would look at a congregation of his people and say, you think you're alive, but I see inside. I see your hearts. and I know you're dead. That concerns me, and it should concern us all. How does a church that is so vibrant, how does it die? What are some things that causes, because, listen, the same things that would have caused the church at Sardis to die are things that will cause a church in the 21st century to die. I know you probably have a list of some things that you might can think of. These are some that I thought of, some things that would cause a church to die. And one of the things I think would be lack of involvement. Christianity is a do religion. James would say, don't be hearers of the word, be doers of the word. And Jesus would say, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But watch now, he that doeth the will of my Father. It's a do religion. It's not a spectator sport. It's not sitting in the stands and watching someone else perform or to do the work. Now, I think you have to give honor where honor is due. And I want to tell you how much I appreciate the involvement that we have in this congregation. I mean, we are super catchy-fragilistic, abidociously talented. And I appreciate you using your talents. We have so many song leaders that they are signed a month at a time to lead singing, and we don't get through all of them. That's awesome. And so many of you are so involved in so many things, and that is a life of a church. Life of a congregation. So if you're doing, I really appreciate you doing. I appreciate your involvement. Now, that doesn't mean to say that we're perfect in that area, because we're really not. Because there are times whenever Doug really has to struggle to get his teachers. And that ought not to be. Got too many talented teachers here. And I know that David and Contessa Hsu really had to work hard to get enough leaders for the many categories that our kids wanted to participate in LTC, which, by the way, they did an awesome, awesome job this year. Man, you're talking about setting some standards. The Johnson Church name was well known, I assure you, at the LTC conference this year in Benton. They said those people came prepared. Our kids do a great job. So involvement is important. But there are those that, like the story of the Good Samaritan, just kind of walk by on the other side instead of stopping to use their talents or lend a hand. Several years ago, there was an article in the newspaper about an incident that happened in New York City. There was a young girl that was coming home from a grocery shop in broad daylight, and two guys jumped out from behind the bushes and stabbed her repeatedly. And she was screaming and hollering, of course, for help. And there were people that came to their windows and looked out and then pulled the shades and left her bleeding on the sidewalk because they didn't want to get involved. Even more sad is whenever there are souls that are bleeding to death and we don't get involved. You know what a good chance to get involved is? Coming up. Friends and family. Man, that would be a great time to get involved, to invite your friends, invite your family. Don't sit back and say, well, Lisa Lewis is going to bring 30 people. And she probably will. She fills that whole section over there. Nearly every time. But if you brought two, or three, or four, our goal of 400 would be shattered to pieces. And we haven't got far to go. This morning our attendance was 248. And it wasn't even Easter. Easter last weekend we had 264. So those are good signs. I'm not a numbers person per se, because obviously the church at Sardis had a good number on their attendance board, because they were known to be alive. They thought they were alive. But when those numbers are growing, that's a good sign. It's a good sign. Keep on inviting your friends. We don't need a special day to invite friends and family. That's called being involved. Churches die when members do not get involved. And then I think lack of commitment. I think lack of commitment. Jesus tells us that we need to be totally committed. Let me read for you what Jesus said here in Luke chapter 9, beginning with verse 23. These are his words. Then he said to them, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross," watch it now, "daily. Let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and he loses his soul?" The Lord expects us to love Him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, with all of our mind. That just about covers it all, doesn't it? It does. Kind of like the story of the little chicken and pig. You probably have heard it. Who were walking down the road and saw a sign of a banquet that was going to be given for a charity. And the chicken said to the pig, "We need to do something." And the pig said, "We sure do. What can we do?" They thought a little bit and the chicken said, "I know. I'll give a dozen eggs and you can give the ham." Pig thought about that like, what's wrong with this picture, you know? And then he said, "Well, wait a minute," said, "for you, that's a contribution. Said, for me, that's a total commitment." And that's exactly what God expects of us, is that kind of total commitment. Paul, in talking about the Macedonians in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 5, commended them, because they first gave themselves. So, lack of commitment causes churches to die. And then I think also lack of vision. The wise man Solomon said in Proverbs 29, verse 19, he said, where there is no vision, my people perish. We need to be people of vision, as of old, to dare to dream dreams. If you don't have a vision to see it, it's not going to happen. If you aim at nothing, that's exactly what you're going to hit. There's an old saying, and often we're caught up in it, well, I got to see it to believe it. Well, I'm telling you, in the spiritual world of the Master, you have to believe it in order to see it. We have got to be people of vision. And we have everything we need, all the tools we need, all the power we need to do great things for the Lord. Why be satisfied with little things when we can do great things? God can do great things with us just as easily as He can do little things. So why not ask for big things? In fact, this is what Paul says in Ephesians 3 and verse 20. He says, "Now unto Him who is able to do," now watch this, "exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." Man, I like that. Exceedingly, abundantly. Not just literally, but bigly. God can do big things, even more than we can think. If you can think it, God can do it. And even more than what we can think. So if we're going to be a church that's alive, we're going to have to be a church that has vision. And then churches die because of lack of faith. I mean, that's the basis of everything. Substance of things hoped for, evidence of things we cannot see. Hebrews 11 and 1. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Without faith, impossible to please Him. For he that cometh unto God must believe that He is able. We've got to believe it. God is able. You add to your faith virtue, virtue, knowledge, temper, patience, patience, godless, brother, kindness. That's the foundation, though, that you build your Christian life on. That's the foundation that you build the church on, is faith. And we got to have it. But how many times have you heard statements like, well, it may work somewhere else, but it won't work here? I do not believe that we're ready for that right now. We tried that once. It didn't work. Cost too much. Those are negative things. In order to be a growing church, you have to think positive. And then another thing that makes churches die is a lack of dependence on God. I mean, people, that's our strength. That's our power. And Paul said, you have to have it. And his thought was about that is, that is worth giving up everything. He said, I have suffered the loss of all things and do count it as nothing that I may know Jesus, and watch this, and the power of his resurrection. The same God, Paul said, that raised Jesus from the dead is the power that gives me what I need to live every day. It's our strength. It's our hope. It's our eternity. And if we're not plugged into the power, how do we expect to handle these problems, burdens, heartaches, pain, sickness, dying? How do you do it? How do you do it without God? I think about these poor unbelievers in the world today. What do they lean on? Man, I have got to have it. I've got to know that I am never alone. I have got to know that there is a power in me greater than myself. And I feel sorry for, I feel an empathy for those who don't have that. And I am so thankful that my God loves us enough to give us his Son, through whom we have the power of eternity. And so, I wonder if we ask ourselves this question, would we have the courage enough to answer it? What kind of church would this church be if every member were just like me? Think about that a minute. I wonder if you'd say that with me. Will you say that with me? Look up here and read it. Let's say it together. What kind of church would this church be if every member were just like me? If you need the power that comes through God the Father, through Jesus, his Son, and we can help you with your faith, and perhaps like Mary Ellen this morning, to be baptized into Christ, or if you just need a shot of get up and go as a Christian. Back in the old days, we'd say, take some Hattie-call. Now, y'all don't even know what that is. Some of y'all that are older might know. Hattie-call was like an energy thing back yonder. Way back yonder. If you need some Hattie-call, some spiritual Hattie-call, we're just exactly the ones that have the answer. His name is Jesus. Will you come while together we stand and sing?